Hi, this is Dr. Samson Davis, Health and Survival Plan. I am Dr. Samson Davis, and thank you for joining me today. As you know, I am a board-certified emergency medicine physician. I'm in the trenches. I'm in the ER, the front lines of medicine. I deal with everything from catastrophes to chronic issues. And so over the last 15 years of practice in emergency medicine, I tell you, I have seen the emergency department become a sellout crowd. It is as if the place has ballooned and enveloped itself. Get this, over 140 million ER visits occur each year. 140 million. That is about half the population. Now, half the population is not using the emergency department, but we have seen individuals use the emergency department over and over and over and over again. And so you know what I'm getting at right now. You know what I'm saying. The emergency department has become a place, has become a pit stop for non-emergent issues. We have to stop using the emergency department for non-emergent issues. That's the message here. That's what I'm saying to you. The emergency department has grown so fast, so quick in addressing everything, all medical problems, that it has reached a point where it is busting at the seams and there are going to be consequences and ramifications. And what do I mean by that? Just imagine if something has grown so fast that it can't contain itself, the people who are in charge of making sure you are okay, to making sure that you're receiving the best health care possible, these individuals such as myself, my nurses, my techs, my consultants, we are all, these individuals are burned out. So what I'm seeing now amongst myself and my colleagues is a high burnout rate, whereas people are now just throwing their hands up and they're walking away from the field because it is just too much to deal with. We don't have enough staff to cover the amount of volume that we're seeing. So we have understaffed, overwhelmed individuals. And now that's not your problem. You're there because of a medical ailment. I get that. But make sure that it is an emergency. You have to stop coming to the ER for non-emergent issues. You have to call, make an appointment with your primary care doctor. The ER is not meant to be a quick fix microwave process where you come in and say, oh, you know, I just have some free time on my hands, so I decided to stop by because it was convenient for me. You know, I get it. Don't get me wrong. We're busy individuals and we need things to happen right away, and we need to make sure that we're addressing all our medical problems as quickly as possible. But if it's an emergency, absolutely come to my hospital. Come see me. I'll take care of you. But if it's a chronic issue, then you have to ask yourself, am I doing the best thing for myself? Case in point, you don't have continuity with me. I am episodic care. I'm here to see you for one time only, take care of your needs, address your needs, and treat you and get you going. You then have to follow up with your primary care doctor. And then the point of me saying follow up with your primary care doctor, go to your primary care doctor, this physician has a relationship with you. It's almost as if you guys are in a relationship with one another. You know, you have, it's not a romantic relationship, but you have some chemistry with each other. So he or she, that doctor, knows exactly all your medical problems, all your allergies, what's been done in the past that works for you. So you're getting the best for the best care for your situation. And wouldn't you want that? Obviously, you do. So you have to do diligence in making sure. So now if you do come to me for an emergency, this is why I say follow up with your family doctor. It's not to waste your time or give you some more responsibility. No, it's to make sure that you are having the best care delivered to you as possible. So that continuity is going to make sure that that medication that I gave you, whether it's an antibiotic, whether it's a blood pressure pill, whether it's an antifungal pill, whether it's a diabetic medication, that follow-up is to make sure that you are responding appropriately to that medication, because there's tons of different medications for the same ailments. So we have to make sure you have the correct response. So that's why I say follow up with your doctor. And the second thing, if you come to my emergency department, I want to make sure that you're doing that. And this is quote unquote for all emergencies, is that you read your discharge instructions. I see so many patients, and you're probably guilty. I know I'm calling you out. Don't be mad at me, but I'm calling you out. As soon as you get your discharge papers, before you even make it home, you have chucked those discharge papers. You have thrown them in the garbage. You don't bother to read what the discharge instructions tell you to do. You don't understand. Like, you come back, I didn't get better. What, did you take the medications? Did you elevate your leg? Did you apply ice? No, I didn't do any of that. The doctor didn't tell me. If or he or she did not tell you, you still should read your discharge papers. So that's for all emergencies. But again, you got to ask yourself, 140 million people use an ER, emergency department each year. That's a growth in over 60% in the last 10 years. You have to ask yourself, listen closely, am I truly using the emergency department for its purpose, or am I using it for my chronic conditions? What I have noticed is that 10% of the population use the emergency department 70 to 80% of the time. If you're in that 10%, then you have to ask yourself, what am I doing that may not be helping me to get better? When I see patients over and over again and they're not following up, it causes mayhem because it takes away from those who are the sickest. So stop using the emergency department for your non-emergent issues. Call and make an appointment with your doctor. And yes, I am calling you out. If you are part of that 10% that uses the emergency department 80% of the time, I am calling you out today. The other day I was working, night shift, Friday night. You know, I love working Friday nights. It's the best thing ever. But Friday night, I'm working and Roger come in to my emergency department. Now, Roger, 28 years old, healthy guy. I'm sure if I saw him walking into the hospital, he probably didn't have a limp or he probably wasn't in so much pain. And I'm not judging and I'm not just taking an advanced step to saying that this is what I see. I didn't see him, so I don't know. But Roger walked in. He's been in my emergency department, get this, 10 times this year. And we've just reached the half-year mark, 28 years old. There's no 28-year-old patient that I know of without any ailments such as like a leukemia or cancer or diabetes or something like that that should be in the emergency department 10 times, right? It's far-fetched. How many times have you used the emergency department this year? I know I have used it zero times. So Rogers is on a sent visit for back pain. For back pain. So he comes in, he says, oh, doc, you know, I was working the other day and I strained my back again. And I'm here, you know, I need my Percocets. And if I could get my Percocets, I'd be on my way. So I looked at Roger and I shook my head. I said, Roger, you know, let me go review your charts and I'll be right back to you. But do know that there's been a push by the federal government to stop writing these opiate medications because we are seeing a high addiction and we're seeing a high increase in opiate unintentional overdoses. So I don't know for sure if you're really in pain or if you're going through withdrawal, because withdrawal from opiates may mimic the same symptoms and signs as if you were having true pain, because you start to feel the nausea and the aches and the tightness in your back, and that could all be because you're going through withdrawal. So as I was going to go look at Roger's chart and see what's been done for him in the past 9 visits, I'm on my way to the computer and the nurse, Linda, comes and grabs me. She's like, oh my God, you got to come right away. Come right away, doc. We have an emergency in our cardiac bay. So I sprint over there to the cardiac bay, and right in front of me, the ambulance is pushing in on a stretcher. The EMS workers pull the patient out of the ambulance. They're pushing him into the cardiac resuscitation bay. And I see a gentleman, and I quickly get a history. He's a 65-year-old. He's a grandfather. His name was Mr. Jacob, and he's playing with his grandson. He fell to the floor, clutching his chest, and he was in cardiac arrest. And so I jumped in right away. I started pounding on Mr. Jacob's chest. We got an IV in him right away. I gave him some epinephrine to get his heart going. I quickly moved. I intubated him, and I was fortunate enough to get a pulse back. And so when we're dealing with the heart, minutes count. Every second or every minute that goes by, a person's chance of recovery is less likely. And if they do recover, the unfortunate reality is that they may not survive, or they may have ongoing medical issues such as congestive heart failure, chronic weakness, fatigue, inability to perform the day-to-day operations that a person normally does. So I'm rushing, and, you know, Mr. Jacob, wife is there. Eileen is there with their grandson, Chase. And, you know, Chase is 3 years old, and he's looking very scared and frightened, obviously, because his pop-pop, his grandfather there, is clinging on to life. And so as I'm working to revive Mr. Jacob, I see Roger kind of looking at the cardiac resuscitation bay, looking at, like, what's going on. And, you know, I'm saying to myself, what is this guy doing? So the nurse went out, and she told him to get back to his room. He said, well, I have to get out of here, and I'm here for an emergency, and you guys are taking all day, and I need to go. And so I overhear him saying this. I'm totally ignoring Roger because I'm taking care of Mr. Jacob. So as I stabilize Mr. Jacob, I move from my position where I was, and I make my way back to the phone, because now I have to start to call different doctors. I have to get the cardiologist on the phone. I need to get his primary care doctor on the phone. And so I'm going through all that, and Roger stops me in the middle of the hallway to say to me that, you know, he has to get out of here and he needs his medication. And I said, Roger, if you don't get back to your room right now, I'm not going to be able to help you. So I went and took care of Mr. Jacobs. I reviewed Roger's chart. I went into the, we have a database. We could see what medications have been given out. And I've seen that Roger's been shopping around for narcotic medications. So the point here is you got to stop. You must stop today using the emergency department for your non-emergent issues. You have to follow up with your doctor. In Roger's case, he was using the ER for a non-emergent case, and he was using it for his addiction. And, you know, for patients who use it for chronic issues, whether it's chronic back pain, whether it's, you know, chronic pain or chronic medical issues, whether it's their blood pressure, your blood pressure fluctuating, you have to understand each time that you come into the emergency department, you may be taken away from someone who's really sick. You may be taking the attention away from someone who's having a heart attack, like a Mr. Jacob, or a stroke, or maybe having a diabetic shock or a gunshot wound or a stab wound or bleeding with a pregnancy. You're taking attention away from that person. So what if that was your loved one? What if that was the person that you call mom, or that you call pop, or that you call husband, or that you call wife, or that you call son, or that you call daughter? What if that was your loved one that you're taking attention away because you're there for chronic issues, whether you're malingering, you know if you're malingering or not. So you have to stop using the emergency department for non-emergent issues. Call and follow up with your doctor. Call and make an appointment with your doctor. One, in the emergency department, I give emergent care, episodic care. I'm not a diagnostician. I don't sit there and diagnose you with certain ailments. I may or may not. But my main point in the ER is to make sure that you're not dying. So that's why I stress a follow-up with your doctor. You need the continuity. The emergency department is not a drug stop. I see a lot of dental complaints in the emergency department. Again, dentistry, dentist handles teeth. That's why you need to go see your dentist. I understand there's a moment where you have an acute flare of the pain. And yes, it's okay to come to the emergency department for that case. But at the same time, I see patients use the emergency department again and again and again and again for toothaches. You must go to your dentist. That is going to give you the biggest bang for your buck. Stop coming to the ER for non-emergent issues. Call and make an appointment with your doctor. The other sort of category of patients that I see, it takes away, I want to talk about two more points here, are what I call my drunks. I see a lot of intoxicated patients come in. They're out having a good time, celebrating, you know, whatever the occasion may be. They may have an alcoholic issue, whatever the case is. But if you're going to get drunk at home. Get drunk in an environment where if you pass out, you can lay on your sofa. If you're intoxicated and you fall out on the streets, they will bring you to the emergency department. So expect a lengthy stay in the emergency department if you are drunk, because I have to wait until your alcohol level drops below the legal limit. And so I have my happy drunks, which are always fun to deal with. I have my mean drunks, which is unpleasant to deal with. I have my angry drunks, which are unpleasant to deal with. I have my sleepy drunk, which are the best because they pass right on out, Z's all the way until they wake up. So if you come into the hospital and your alcohol level is four times the legal limit, which puts you around 320, that means I have to wait till your alcohol level drops down below 80 in order for me to discharge you. Now, the alcohol from 320 decreases 25 every hour. So at 1 hour, you're at 295. At hour two, you're now at 270. And therefore, you keep on going down until you get to 80 or below. So my drunks take up a lot of my space in the ER. My advice, if you're drunk or you want to go out and celebrate, do it at home. It's more comfortable. You can pass out at home. And you can have the confines and the comfort of your bed, your couch, your sofa, your futon, whatever it is that you sleep on. You can have that space. Stop using the emergency department for non-emergent issues. I had one patient come in, Sarah, 30 years old, called the ambulance, 911, the most expensive taxi service out. Called 911 for an ankle sprain. Sarah hopped out on her good foot and made her way to the wheelchair and sat in the wheelchair and registered to be seen as an ER patient. I stood there and shook my head as I was standing by the ambulance bay saying to myself, are you kidding me? Somebody could be having a heart attack right now. That could be, Sarah, your grandfather could be having a heart attack right now. You're using the ambulance to transport you to the hospital for an ankle sprain? You got to stop and think. There's not a surplus of ambulances just waiting to take a patient to the hospital. So each time you use one, you're taking away from someone who needs it. So make sure you make wise decisions. Take an Uber, take a taxi, but don't take the ambulance. That's more expensive than a limousine ride. Stop using the emergency department for non-emergent issues. Follow up with your doctor. And of course, I must say this. I don't want any of you to be confused. What you consider an emergency is an emergency. If any time you're not feeling well and you feel like you need to come to the hospital, by all means, come. I see all patients. I'm just asking you to do diligence and ask yourself, is this something that's chronic? Do I need to see a specialist like a lung doctor for my chronic cough, a pulmonologist, or a GI doctor, a intestinal doctor for my chronic irritable bowel, like a gastroenterologist? Do I need to see those type of specialists? They do not live in the emergency department, so you have to call and make an appointment. Come see me if you have an emergency. Make sure you follow up with your primary care doctor. Make sure you read your discharge instructions. Make sure you get drunk at home and don't use the ambulance services for ankle sprains or knee sprains or anything like that when you can just call a taxi. But if it's a true emergency like chest pain, shortness of breath, then by all means, make sure you call 911. All right, and keep in mind the emergency department. You know, the other point I want to add to this is not a hotel or a restaurant or a social gathering. Don't come in there expecting to have a five-star cuisine. Don't expect to have your bed made and pillows fluff. And don't call all your friends on social media, Instagram, or Snapchat, and tell them to come on over and hang out with you. It's not a hangout. It's not a club. It's not a place of a gathering. It's there for an emergency. That's why we call it the emergency department. If we use it for what it's meant to be, a lot of the overcrowding will stop occurring. And then, obviously, I can deliver, my colleagues could deliver the best care for you. Stop coming to the emergency department for non-emergent issues. Call and make an appointment. Now, before I end, I do want to answer one question. I received this letter from Henry. Henry writes in, "Hi, Dr. Davis. I suffer from severe migraine headaches that really scares me. I think I'm dying. I can't function. Should I go to the emergency department?" Henry, by all means, if you are having migraines and it's a severe migraine, please come to the emergency department. If you have a history of migraines and it's been ongoing for a lengthy period of time, you need to see a specialist, which is a neurologist. A neurologist is a doctor that deals with strokes and headaches and anything that's brain-related, such as migraines. And that's where you're going to get the biggest bang for your buck. That's where your sweet spot is, by seeing that neurologist. And he or she will be able to prescribe medications to prevent migraines and to treat migraines if you have an episode. That's where you get the biggest bang for your buck. Stop coming to the emergency department, though. Henry, this is not you. If you're having pain, come. But if you have chronic conditions and they're not an acute exacerbation or acute worsening of the situation, stop coming to the emergency department for non-emergent issues. Call and schedule an appointment with your doctor. Thank you guys for joining me today. Make sure to follow me on social media, Dr. Sampson Davis, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and pick up my latest book, Living and Dying in Brick City, Stories from the Frontline of the Emergency Room.